Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the... Whoops, hold on. I just clicked the wrong page. And I think Sherry just came in as well. This is the Sound Health Options Show, Directions for Truth Show, with Richard Talk to Me Guy and, I believe, Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Yes, finally got on. Been having...
There we are. Ta-da! Wow, that was very last minute, even for me.
Very happy to be here. There was so
everything,
many good
everything okay over there? Were you having typhoons and cows flying around, or is it just technical, the usual technical excitement?
I think they would be called brownouts, where the electric
lanes. Oh, yeah.
Planes,
yeah.
And every time I'd get on, they'd do one of those and then drop me again.
Wow.
So I started early. Just didn't get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I saw you here. I think you have to open the audio at WebEx as well.
Uh-oh, I'm forgetting everything.
That's okay.
Okay, now we've got audio over at WebEx.
Okay,
great.
There we go. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, congratulations. Getting in on the ice at the last moment, always exciting. I love that adrenaline bump.
Well, if it drops me off again, I'll be right back.
Exactly, okay.
Direction for Truth. We love it. We have the ability here at the Center for Bioacoustic Biology to look at people's vocal prints and see if they're telling the truth, to see what their perspective is on something. And a lot of times people write us and say, would you do this? Would you do this? And if I haven't got to yours, please write again because it's got buried. So we're going to be doing some very interesting things tonight based on your requests. I am surprised when our country is in such turmoil that people want to know if Bill Cosby is really a rapist, as if it would make any difference. You know, what's going on there that people have this fascination with famous people and they want to know if they're telling the truth or not? And the other one is a political one, Jonathan Gruber, who said humans are stupid and us leaders, we leaders have to lie to them to make sure that they get the best they can have, or they really don't know what they want. Like we're children. That's what you do with your children when they want a lollipop and you try to distract them with a carrot or a visit to grandma's. So we're being treated like children. So those are two oddly opposed things, I think, but that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Thank all of you for being here. Wonderful list of people. I have two announcements. One, we are doing a class on January 10th about bring a friend. We're trying to reach a newer audience. I shouldn't say it that way. A wider audience. There you go. So we are planning a day of bioacoustic learning and workshops. We're going to be giving away software, bio diet, PTSD, arthritis. I can't remember the other one. Oh, inflammation. And the course is $50 for the day, but if you bring a friend, it's free. That's pretty wonderful. But we're going to concentrate on trying to help people, give them the expertise and the information to set up a bioacoustic center in their community. We are getting so many requests. We cannot keep up. We need people trained so that we can send people out to these other geographic locations. We're just snowed under. So we're trying to reach people that are interested in helping set up a center, and we're supplying their software to get them started and their class if they'll bring a friend. How's that sound, Richard?
I like it. As we know, I'm a big fan of, well, one of the reasons that I'm here is because I'm such a fan of the ability to being empowered to do work for, you know, to help ourselves, you know, get some of this software, start out by helping yourself, help your family members, and then possibly spill it out into the community. And then if you like doing it, you can have a practice of your own doing it. But it's an amazing tool to have, you know, on your laptop and look at your vocal print and see what's going on. And then, you know, it's very empowering. I love this
but
work.
Some people don't want to be empowered. They want to be taken care of. So I guess that's good for us, or
I still,
wouldn't have any customers.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's kind of like...
I want to jump in and let everybody know, since we kind of skidded in at the last moment, that we're broadcasting both. If you go to soundhealthoptions.com and click at the radio tab at the top of the webpage and then scroll down on the right to Direction for Truth, there's a link there. If you scroll down, it's for joining the meeting. And what that is for is to see the video feed that Sherry is managing and the chat that Sherry is managing over there. And then I'm also managing a chat over at Blog Talk Radio. And you can also call in at Blog Talk at 347-850-1407. And I'm managing the chat over there as well.
Oh, and they're saying, are we recording? And we weren't. So just starting the recording for Direction for Truth on December 16th, in which we're going to talk about Bill Cosby and Jonathan Gruber. We are making a few announcements before we start. One about the upcoming class on January 10th. We hope everybody drags a friend along and joins us. It'll be fun. I shouldn't have said drag. That's not very nice. But also, one other announcement, well, two others. We are being sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health in Southern Ohio, and that's where we teach people how to do what we're going to show you tonight. So it's important that people be able to look at what's going on, and you can see a recording of this in a few days. Sometimes Marie gets right on it and gets it the next day, but she does so much other stuff that she's just snowed under right now, so it might be a day or so before this comes up. But you can hear it, and I'll try to be a little descriptive, a little more than usual, because that's been a complaint. As I'm looking at something, I'll try to describe what it is for the people who are only listening to the show. But I have one other announcement that was sent to us by Ayla, and this is about donations at the end of the year. And she singles out five different supposedly nonprofit groups that we've all heard of and tells us what's really going on with them. Goodwill, for instance. CEO and owner Mark Curran profits $2.3 million a year. Goodwill is a very catchy name for his business. You donate to his business, and then he sells the items for profit. He pays nothing for his products and pays his workers minimum wage. Nice guy. Zero goes to help other people. Now, I don't believe this completely. I think by him supplying the stores and paying the rent, paying for the cashier and bank charges and whatever, he is supplying a good service to people who can't afford to buy things new. So he needs to pay his people more, I would think that. But I don't think that all of that goes into his pocket, because the stores and the rent and the telephone and the utilities. So I don't quite agree with that one.
Can I jump in on that one just for a second?
Sure.
I think the other thing that I think is missing there at Goodwill, I'm not saying Goodwill is all good. However, Goodwill also employs a lot of people. I go into Goodwills quite frequently, and I see a lot of, you know, there are people where they have trucks that are staffed for people to drop off things. They employ a lot of people who aren't volunteers. They get paid. They may be only getting minimum wage, but there are people who can't get a job working anyplace else that Goodwill does employ. So I think that's, as you say, maybe the money doesn't go further, but they sure employ a lot of people, and I know in some parts of, I've seen trucks also where they have food trucks that go out to, you know, homeless shelters, and, you know, so they do good things as well.
I just think $2.3 million a year is a lot of income. UNICEF CEO Carly M. Stern receives $1.2 million per year, $100,000 per month, plus all expenses, including a Rolls Royce. 5 cents of every dollar donated goes to the cause to help someone else. I think that's pretty pathetic. Who needs $1.2 million per month to run a nonprofit? It can't be that difficult of a job. So I don't like that one much, and that's on my blacklist. United Way. Now, these people come around to our offices and try to enroll us in a payroll deduction. President Brian Gallagher receives a $357,000 base salary along with numerous expense benefits. That's a third of $1 million, guys, around there. March of Dimes. I was so appalled by this one. It's called the March of Dimes because only one dime out of every dollar is given to the needy. American Red Cross. President and CEO Marcia J. Evans' salary for this year alone, $651,957. So along with these bad guys that you don't donate to, she gives us a list of green, put your money where it does some good. The Salvation Army, very much like these United Way and March of Dimes, and Salvation Army Commissioner Todd Bassett receives a small salary of only $13,000 per year plus a house for managing $2 billion organization. 96% of the donated dollars go to the cause. They have those little red kettles and the bell ringers. That'd be a good place for your money to go. American Legion, National Commander receives nothing. All of your donations go to help veterans and their families. Veterans of Foreign Wars, Commander receives nothing in a salary. All the money goes to help veterans and their families. Disabled American Veterans, National Commander, $0. Donations go to the families and the veterans. The Military Order of the Purple Heart, Commander receives $0. All the donations go to the people. The Vietnam Veterans Association, again, $0, with everything going to the veterans and their families. Make-A-Wish, 100% goes to grant the wishes of a dying child. McDonald's House, 100% goes to the families who have their kids in the hospital. St. Jude's, the one with Danny Thomas and his daughter Marla, 100% goes to the research for the children. Lions Club, 100% goes to help the blind, buying hearing aids, support medical missions around the world. So if you're thinking that you need to donate, these are great people, great organizations. We choose a family, try to, every year in our community. Somebody's house burnt down. We haven't done it this year, but we try to choose a family and give to that family rather than waiting for people like the Red Cross to come in. I don't know how much of the Red Cross is not on here. Oh, American Red Cross here. So I'd rather give it directly to the family. So that's my soapbox for the evening before we go on. Any other announcements, Richard?
Did you by chance see that link I sent you in Skype regarding Colburn?
Oh, we saw.
If you can.
We talked a little bit about him before.
This is the latest post. I just saw a post from this morning that indeed he did single-handedly stop the bill giving $22 million to support the Veterans Suicide Act. Not, or, you know, to support veterans who have want counseling to prevent veteran suicide.
Oh, and they need your donations for December. You're in fundraising.
That's because it's a private link.
He's the one that stopped. Only $20 million. And these are the people that they're putting on lists and killing them because they can't get into a doctor. They won't pay for them to go.
So he single-handedly, he filibustered this bill to make certain that it did not get signed as he prepares to retire with full, I would imagine, full benefits and, you know, health insurance for the rest of his life. And yet he doesn't feel that veterans deserve any assistance preventing suicide.
That's one of the most sickening things I find about Congress. They can serve one term and they get out and they've got full benefits and full health and all that for life. And a soldier can't even get into a VA hospital to be seen, even if they've had their legs blown off and they've got an infection. You know, some of these horror stories. This is so unfair. You know how these people in Congress got all this? They voted it for themselves.
Yeah, they can certainly schedule time to make sure that their raises are taken care of and their health care are taken care of. But, you know, I don't have words I can use on air about how I feel about this man.
A rat's behind, which is something pretty useless.
Thank you. Okay, that's my announcement. This jackass senator. I mean, when the Congress reconvenes, it is possible that somebody with brains can make this be passed. But he decided to filibuster it now, so another, you know, 11 to 20 veterans a day will be killing themselves.
I wish they had filibustered this money deal right off the table, temporarily done it till Republicans can get in, till people can think about this. This is another, we're not letting you go, and we're not letting you go home for Christmas. Well, boo-hoo if they have to work over Christmas. Soldiers work over Christmas. Protecting the company, and these guys can't sit there and make a decent law. They have to put all this pork in it so somebody will sign it. Well, it's the budget. Get over taking your share out before everybody else gets theirs. Oh, got to get off this. All right. We're going to go on and talk about what we're supposed to talk about tonight, supposedly. Okay, I know you probably don't care at all, but what do you think about Bill Cosby? Is he guilty?
I think he's made mistakes along the way. I don't say that in the tone of, you know, after what we were just talking about, this seems so like, really? But no, I think he's made mistakes along the way, and there just seem like there are too many complaints coming out for it not to have truth. So I am curious about his vocal print.
Well, I want to show you some of the backstabbing stuff that goes along with this. These are some of the people, and there's one on here, a blonde with short hair and glasses. I'm going to point it out when she comes up. But these are some of the different women and their stories. And we've done, Barbara, we took three of the people out of this, about 10 here, and there's actually, I think, 21. But see, as we watch this, who you think is more believable. And see who you think is not believable. You can put your votes in chat. Okay, this is very short, about 3 minutes.
He asked me back a few times. He asked me to visit him on the set.
Let me go to the beginning.
I loved him. I wanted him to be my dad. He asked me back a few times. He asked me to visit him on the set. I was not the only girl that he was doing this with.
Mr. Cosby wanted me to come down for an audition for the Bill Cosby Show.
I'm going to offer you a part on the Cosby Show. He had been mentoring me and grooming me. He said, well, come up to my bungalow after I'm finished shooting and we'll work on it.
So
So he asked me, he says, before we go out to dinner, would you like a cocktail?
I had one glass of wine with dinner. He made me a drink. He said, oh, I've got something for that. And he gave me a pill. It was red wine. It was a pill.
He opened up a briefcase that was on his front seat, and it was filled with different assorted pills.
This men's shaving kit opened up with lots of pills.
Why don't you take a couple of these to help you relax?
I took one sip, and I felt something very strange going on in my head.
I began to feel very, very, very drugged.
He drugged me and
watch
my roommate.
Watch this girl right
I
here.
I knew I had been drugged. It was very powerful.
Let me run that back
it came
just
on
a
very
second.
And my roommate,
Victoria Valentino.
I had been drugged. It was very powerful. It came on very quickly.
And very shortly after that, I passed out.
The last thing I remember, I had blacked out. And Cosby mounting me.
She passed out, and I pulled him off of her.
The room started to spin. My speech was slurred.
And before I knew it, I was with my head over the toilet, throwing up in a white T-shirt and my panties. And he was looming over me in a white robe. I woke up, or came to, very groggily with him removing my underwear.
The next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up in a bed, naked, bruised.
There was a lot of pain in downstairs. There was semen all over me, and my pajamas bottoms were off.
I woke up out of a very confused state and knowing that my body had been touched without my permission.
I knew I was raped.
I was embarrassed. And I, at that point, fight or flight, I just packed up and I got the hell out of there.
But who's going to believe me? Bill Cosby, the all-American dad, the all-American husband, the person, Mr. Jello, that everybody loves.
Cosby was a very powerful man.
I was looked at directly in the eye by Bill Cosby and said, I had better never, ever see your face or hear your name again. And I listened.
Do you believe any of them? Do you believe all of them?
Seems tricky.
15 minutes.
Oh, wait. Don't want that. Okay. Another commercial come on. Sorry, guys. Cut that out, Marie, would you please? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying seems, tricky. But, by the time they get to this point of sitting on camera and talking about it, everybody's been coached and prompted by their attorneys. I'm not saying that he didn't do bad. I just, I'm looking forward to the vocal print.
What do you think it's going to say?
I think, it'll show some, whether he, I can't tell.
Okay, here's a corker for you. This is Cosby and his wife Camille leaving the John F. Kennedy Center where he got an award.
15 minutes could save you 15%
Oh, I don't
want to
watch
cards.
This commercial, but
yeah,
they're both on the
that.
Same page, and
well,
I couldn't
you know
do anything about it.
Well, did you know the playing cards with Kenny Rogers gets old pretty fast?
You got to know.
Cut this out, Marie. We really don't want this commercial
know when
on there.
To fold them, know when to walk away. Know
I should have
run.
Downloaded this, but
you
I just found it. Just seconds before
what?
We went on, I was trying to work on another computer.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It is the first time Mrs. Cosby has made a public statement acknowledging the sexual assault and rape allegations that are being faced by her husband. She is defiantly standing by Mr. Cosby. Let's bring in attorney and radio personality Mo Ivory. Brian Stelter is here as well, CNN senior media correspondent and host of Relial.
Okay, she was very careful not to do this publicly on a video. She did it in a letter, or I could have gotten her vocal print to really see what's going on. But I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I don't really care about this legal stuff that's going on here. Watch when they.
She's been married to Bill Cosby for over 50 years.
Watch when they walk out of this.
Disingenuous, because she does know that in 2006 he settled a sexual assault case with a woman, and that there were other women that in that case testified.
This woman right here.
They too had.
This is the same woman that accused him of raping her and her friend. And she's touching him. She's right in his face. What dirt. So he raped her, yet she's sucking up to him?
Been the victim. So back in 2006, it never got the media attention that it's getting now. But Camille was certainly aware that these things were going.
Same woman. There are lots of women who have accused him. All of these and more. Some of them we just saw. Now, I chose her because I thought she didn't feel like an actress or she was putting on anything. The two became friendly one night after taping a sitcom. He invited her back to the bungalow and fixed her a red eye, a Bloody Mary topped with beer. The next day she remembered was coming to on his couch after being undressed. So we have hers. Here's the lady that was there. We didn't do hers. Did her. I'm trying to find the other people that we went ahead and did. We have to be very careful here about what we're going to say. We did hers. Now, I thought she was believable. She is Barbara Bowman. This is the young one that supposedly, I think this is the one, she was only 17 and a model. She was underage. Didn't do this lady. This is the Hulk's wife, and she says that he forcibly kissed her as if that's a big deal. Well, I guess it is. But kissing someone, now this is Allred, attorney, boy, what is her first name? Gloria. We have already done her voice and found out she's just doing all of this for aggrandizement. So didn't really appreciate that. Some people hiding. I'll go back and show you which ones we have done with this one, the one at the top. I don't want to hear that commercial again, good Lord. I'm going to do it in a different way. Do you remember the one that said she was a model and her lips looked really big? Her face looked, I could turn this commercial down and let it play while I'm showing you these reports. Okay, the video is going to play in 0 seconds. Come on, replay. Oh, commercial. The commercial is going to replay. Great. So here is Cosby. Now, we're going to be looking at a nano voice. That's Janice. Okay, this is back on. We did this woman, Barbara Bowman. We did not do her. We did this one. This is the one I said that used to be a model, and you could tell she's had something done. Her lips look really big, and then that one that was in the green. So those are the three that we, this one. Those are the three that we looked at. So as we look at Cosby, he has foundation on the right, no foundation on the left. We are looking at a blue grid divided into 12 sections, C, C sharp, D, D sharp, and so forth. And then there are different octaves. The bottom octave, minus three, that's your foundation, your gut level for men. The one above it, this is women gut level. The one above that is minus one. That's a totally female octave. The one above that is a child's octave. And the one above that is fantasy. You can see there's an entire split in this vocal print from the left and right. He has a strong foundation on the right. He believes and can justify what he's done, but he is guilty according to a bioacoustic report. When you look at where most of his numbers are, it's in C sharp, in fantasy, in logic and fairness, but it's in the fantasy layer. A lot of his information is in A, 83, normal 42. So his information on the radio, on the TV, was about managing. And he really didn't say much. He was talking about, well, I'm not going to answer that. Well, not this. Well, not that. I have the links here. But as you can probably tell, I'm a little discombobled about getting everything together and running with it. Let me find kind of what he said. And one of the things that really got to me about this is that he tried to give this reporter, I'm not in the right thing yet, he tried to tell this reporter about integrity. And I just found that to be silliness. Because here he was refusing to answer questions. And I am not going to give up. I'm going to find this. It was AP interview Cosby. Cosby talks about sexual assault. I had all of this up and running. Okay, skip that. Hope this doesn't end up being a commercial. Yep, it is a commercial. I'm getting rid of the sound off the commercial when this comes up. This is going to come up about an AP interview. And during the interview, the reporter asked, well, I hate to bring this up. Here it is. He and his wife are being interviewed.
Cosby refusing to discuss sexual assault allegations. The Associated Press interviewed the comedian and his wife, Camille, 2 weeks ago about their art collection. And Cosby was also asked about the women who claimed he drugged and attacked them.
No, we don't answer that.
Okay. I just wanted to ask if you wanted to respond at all about whether any of that was true.
There's no response.
Okay. Can I ask you if with the persona that people know about Bill Cosby, should they believe anything differently about what?
There is no comment about that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I think you were told. I don't want to compromise your integrity, but I don't talk about it.
A short time later, Cosby asked the reporter not to use that part of the interview.
Now, can I get something from you?
What's that?
That none of that will be shown.
I can't promise that myself, but you didn't say anything.
I know I didn't say anything, but I'm asking your integrity that since I didn't want to say anything, but I did answer you in terms of I don't want to say anything, of what value will it have?
This morning, NBC.
He's trying to hide it and not answer, but I was still able to record that, take out the reporter's voice, and then look at this. We have the entire thing if you guys want to see it. And this was the report. And what came up when he was saying, when he was trying to give this reporter a lecture about his integrity, when he doesn't have his integrity in order. If you'll remember when we looked at Jerry Sandusky, he had this same split in his voice, a little different angle, but he had a split. If we pretended that each of the squares that we're looking at was a puddle, you couldn't walk from square to square where there's a number because there's a big piece missing in the middle. This means the person is not being truthful. He's segregated thinking in two different directions at once or two different ways. He thinks he is justified either by his position or what he promised these women that they got as good out of it as he did. He helped their careers. He's justifying this, just like Jerry Sandusky, when Jerry Sandusky's saying with these 9-year-old boys that he was molesting, that it was just horseplay and he was giving them his attention. This bioacoustic profile here indicates that he is guilty. And I don't know if we have the other one here. If I run into it, we'll talk about it. Okay, the first one we did was Janice Dickinson, and I probably shouldn't even give her name. She's one of the first Cosby accusers. She's the one who was the model that I showed you that she'd looked like she'd had some work done because her mouth was kind of distorted. As we look at this bioacoustic profile, it indicates what's really going on. And for those of you who have studied this and know about it, you can see a lot of blue, a lot of emotions expressed here, bioacoustically speaking, I should say. We're looking at the tallest blue at F, an emotional plan. Emotions at E, words of an emotional plan. F sharp, blue, very tall, very out of balance. And you can see that her chart is not balanced at all. Her story, according to bioacoustics, is not all there. But look over here at ego, very green, almost alone by itself, and green is for an emotional a useful purpose, and it's also the note of C, ego. Ego for a purpose using emotional words and plans. So, is she telling the truth or not, Richard? You want to see her numbers. You love her numbers. Okay? Here's her numbers. She has some foundation, just like Cosby did, on the right. But the majority of her foundation is in a child-naive octave. What do you make of that?
Well, but she still is there fantasy elevated there? None of her numbers are that high. I'm kind of surprised. So she has some fantasy. She's operating from a naive position. I'm surprised not to see any red in the color part of the bars part of the chart, because I would think that if she was angered or enraged, that there would be some red in there somewhere. But it was all blue and emotional and childlike.
And I listened to her in 3 or 4 different interviews. There was not any red, and it was always the same. She would hesitate like she was thinking of a word, but it was, she said the same thing, almost like a script every time. But as I look at this, for an egotistical, useful purpose, she's doing this likely for attention. From a naive perspective, she does have some foundation in the right brain, so she has convinced herself that this is the right thing to do. I would think that she is partially responsible here, but that's just bioacoustically. This is what her vocal print says, and this just pops out automatically, punch a button. It's easier for you to see the fault in others but don't know how to get your point across politely. If you had to lie to see justice done, you would, but your sense of justice doesn't always jive with the law. Jerry Sandusky had that in his file. I want to call him Dr. Huxtable. Bill Cosby had it in his file. If you had to lie, you would if you had a good purpose. Your highest note is associated with the integration of appropriate perception and action. But this woman is an actress, and if you see her interviewed, it's the same story, the same cadence, all over. I believe something did happen. I believe there was a promise made, but I also believe that Cosby thought it was a fair exchange. So is he guilty of having sex with these women? His bioacoustic report looks like yes. Did he feel like he was taking advantage? I don't think he felt that way, but it doesn't explain the pills. In almost every story, there are some kind of pills involved. And if it was really consensual, he wouldn't have had to give them some kind of knockout pills. And if it didn't happen, he wouldn't be defending it so hard in the way that he did. One of the things that lawyers commonly do, if they don't have the facts on their side, they will attack whoever they're interviewing or whoever's interviewing them. That's what Cosby did to this poor reporter, attacking this reporter's integrity because I guess Cosby was told questions about his sexual exploits or assaults or whatever you want to call them would not be asked. Now, this poor guy was just told what to ask, and he says that. These were the questions I was giving, and then Cosby comes back and attacks this kid. Here is Barbara Bowman. She's the little blonde, and I believed her. You challenge the opinions of others with good reason. If you ever had to lie to see justice done, you would do it because your sense of justice doesn't always jive with the law. There it is again. So we go look at her print, and there's absolutely no print here. Let's see if I can call it up because it didn't save right. Open.
While you're doing that, I want to make one comment about that, you know, Cosby confronting the journalist, in air quotes. I will say that in terms of somebody who does interview people, there are times when, before we start doing the recording or doing a show, there might be a conversation, there's something that the person, you know, I'll ask them, do you want to talk about this or not talk about that? And they say, well, I'd rather not talk about that now. And it's nothing, you know, it's not an illegal. It's just, you know, I'm not doing that now or I didn't want to focus on that. And as somebody who is a type of a journalist or an interviewer, I comply with their wishes. So I will say that if that is true, that Cosby had said up front, I don't want to talk about that, then for the journalist to try and weasel by saying on camera to him is a weaselly thing to do. I'm not defending Cosby. I'm just saying, as somebody who does interview people, if you then, after they tell you, I'd rather not talk about that, then once the cameras are running, decide to, it's kind of a sleazy thing to do as a journalist of any kind, in my opinion.
If you listen to the whole thing, he tries to explain to Cosby that these were the questions that he was given by his producer and was told to ask. So it's not completely his fault, I don't think. I understand what you're saying, but Cosby just raked him, for 2 or 3 minutes about his lack of integrity for asking that question. So do you go along with what your boss asks you to do, your producer, or do you just try to fake it through and sort of tiptoe around, hiccups again, the question? I don't have any drink in here either. But the point I was trying to make is, even when he says, I'm not going to be talking about that subject, it was easy to get a read on him.
Yeah.
So here is Barbara Bowman, emotional self-approval. Now, words of emotions. And until you look at her numbers, you really don't see the truth. Her foundation is in naivete, childlike. 160 score in the note of D about self-approval. So I don't think she would have ever come out with this on her own. I think she needed to wait until other people came out, and then she sort of joined the group. But even her words at 115 are in naivete and fantasy layer level. And when you see her on different interviews, she says her story is slightly different. It's not word for word like the first person that we looked at. So she's not telling all of the story. How do you tell that? Not enough information here. She's leaving things out. Boy, now it's in there twice. Couldn't find it at all.
Well, it's funny, and as you say that, from looking at the numbers, to me, you know how I like to look at the numbers, that when I look at the numbers, that's how exactly I would look at the numbers, is that there's a bunch of, there's no, a solid line, really. Well, that sort of top line is sort of almost solidish. But the rest of it is just hip-scopping, it's all over the place. She's got she's just missing pieces.
As bad as I hate to say it, she sort of looks like Dick Cheney. But over here,
yikes,
where you got 1 and 2 in naivete, you might as well not have anything, because there's no support for it whatsoever. Her biggest support in any kind of foundation is 59 under information broker, which kind of makes me think she's doing this for what she thinks is a better cause, but also somehow dealing with her self-approval. In one of the interviews, she said he told her he didn't want to ever see or hear from her again, and she was afraid of him at that point. She sort of kept to herself. This last one is of the lady that was in the green with the glasses. Now, I believed her. She also was an actress. She has a lot more information filled out. A lot of blue there in D sharp, emotional information broker. I took her as a script woman or something like that, not as an actress. She just didn't hit me as an actress at all. But there was some intellect, and for those of you who have your charts, remember that intellect is in the upper left and emotions in the bottom right. That is a very hard combination to have. I want to think about it, and I want to do. I want to feel about it, I want to think about it, I want to feel about it. You counteract yourself, you second-guess yourself. She does have a lot of green and the note of E, emotion and words and information. Little bit of emotion there. Double usefulness, and then on top of that, intellect. So in that note, she has three different colors. She's in conflict about this because she doesn't know what her perspective ought to be. We can also look at her numbers. Now, we had one that had a right framework of emotion, of foundation, I'm sorry. And now she has a left. She's more logical, linear, pragmatic. This is what Cosby had missing, this left brain foundation. So together they would have made one whole person. They'd have had a nice foundation all the way across. But most of her numbers are also in naivete. I think these people think they're going to get something out of this. The statute of limitations on rape is long ago gone, 5 years, I think. Different for different states, probably. But they're not going to get anything out of it but their name in the paper and their face on the screen. I think there is some underlying motivation here. Cosby did something to somebody that has clout, and they decided to take this to the public, even though it's, you know, long past, to embarrass him or to kill some kind of a project, to get out of a project. I would not be surprised if we find out in a few years that he had signed a contract and they've canceled these movies. He signed a contract, and I don't think they ended up wanting to work with him. They wanted to get out of the contract, so they decided to bring up this morals clause to kill it. But they've also killed a chair endowment at some university someplace, several projects they have killed. And I don't think this was about these women coming forward, although Gloria Allred does that quite a lot. She did that when that woman who was lying accused McCain of being a problem. So I think we're going to find out that there's something behind this, that it's not about these women. It's about some kind of contract or money deal or some big deal in the background that part of the people wanted canceled, and Cosby probably said, no, you signed it, we're going to do it this way. And so this is how they decided to kill the deal. This is Joan Tarshish statements. High degree of intuition. You challenge the opinion of others for good reason. That's all that left brain stuff. If you ever had to lie to see justice done, you would do it, but your sense of justice does not always jive with the law. I only did three. I'm going to do some more. But every one of them had that in their charts. That tells me they're not telling all of the truth here. I will get this in a form that makes a little more sense. It's written up in a narrative. I didn't put any evaluation statements in here, just showing you the charts. But I will go back through this and look at it. So, bioacoustically speaking, it says that he is guilty, but he also feels like he is justified, and that these women had a fair exchange for what he provided for them. Any comment there, Richard?
No. No, it's a bad, particularly after looking at the women's vocal prints, it just, and watching them talk, by the time the attorneys get involved, it's just a mess. I'm not saying it wasn't a mess beforehand, but, you know, it sounds like, as you said about that one woman, I don't remember her name, but the one where you know, it sounds like there's been a lot of coaching going on, and they're being, you know, evidently I'm thinking that they've talked to an attorney, and once you've talked to an attorney, you're being coached in how you present what you're saying, and it seems like a lot of that has gone on.
And look at the double standard, how she's touching them, talking to both of them, and then turned right around and accused him of raping her.
Yeah.
Something's wrong here. Okay, we only have about 5 minutes left, but this is an easy one. This is Jonathan Gruber, who has been going around from MIT making statements, working with state Obamacare, whatever you call them, centers. And these are some of his statements. And people wanted to know if he's this dumb, because he went to Congress.
He made explicit the health people paying the sick people get money. It would not have passed.
He was only getting started. Here's MIT professor Jonathan Gruber, one of the president's go-to guys on health care, talking about what he described as the tortured way the law was written so it wasn't viewed by the public as a tax.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting things to pass.
Now, Nancy Pelosi stood up there and held people hostage on Christmas Eve until they passed this law without ever looking at it. And Jonathan Gruber has been called the architect of the Massachusetts law with Romney and then with Obamacare. And he's collected millions of dollars. And he sat there and said in public, and there's been probably 10 of these come out, different places he's spoken, that we had to lie to the public. They were too stupid. They don't know what's good for them. And they would never have passed it if we had told them the truth. Then he went to Congress and said, oh, I just said that off the cuff. There wasn't really much going on with it, even though it's now proven that he was in the White House. I know that there's files here on Gruber. Essentially, here's his comments. Well, we're just going to have to play the comments.
The bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. The bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
Okay, this is really Gruber talking about how he coached the people trying to pass this law, how he coached them into fooling people. His vocal print looks very much like Gaddafi. Martyrdom, I'll go to the ends of the earth to do the right thing for my people. But he also has yellow in his D-sharp information broker. And when you look at the print of Obama and comparing it to Gaddafi, G-A-D, well, it totally disappeared on me. This is Gaddafi, looks very similar. And Obama, very similar. That high, high martyrdom. I will do whatever it takes to get what I want because I know what's best for the people. I am the parent. I am the God. I am the leader. I am the boss. So what he was saying to Congress, that it was just an off-the-cuff? No such thing. 247 up in naivete in the note of B, which is self-introspection, my way, martyrdom. 123 in the note of D sharp. Did he mean what he said? Yes. He believes, like Obama and other people in the government believe, including Bush to a certain extent, that they know best, government knows best, and they will see to it whether we get what they want for us, and that we're too stupid to know what we need. We're being treated like children. This should be an adult-adult conversation. And in any kind of interaction where they're both adults, it's a 60-60 proposition. An adult will take responsibility without having to be begged or asked. They'll take the other person's feelings and rights into consideration. That is not what's being done here. But Gruber thinks he's got this strong foundation. He thinks he's got a little bit of a hormone issue too. But he thinks that he's right in doing this, absolutely right in doing it, and he doesn't need anyone's permission. So he did this for Romney, he did it for Obamacare, he did it for Pelosi. I just find it incredible that we are seen as so stupid. Remember Pelosi saying, we need to vote for it to see what's in it. And it's become a nightmare. Pelosi, by the way, bioacoustically speaking, has a vocal print very much, almost identical to Ronald Reagan. So you can expect to see some Lewy proteins, some dementia, like Reagan. I'm not really allowed to look at anybody's health issues. I'm just going to say they're very much like Ronald Reagan. Remember what happened to him. We very much like you sending us information and questions. Sometimes we don't know the people and they aren't public figures, so we really can't do anything with it. We can't help you with the situation with your wife. We can teach you how to do it. But unless it's a public figure, we really can't use their videos and share them with the public. Richard, is your friend coming for Blog Talk Radio on Sunday?
I'm calling him after the show. I'm not sure. I tried earlier, but he wasn't available. I hope so.
More good.
What Sherry's talking about is hopefully Paul Galon will be on the show on Sunday. He's an herbalist and a formulator of great supplements that had some great solutions that I talked about on the last Sunday show where Sherry interviewed me. So I hope so.
What Richard talked about, this guy has the formulations already done. Richard was trying to tell us how to do it ourselves, and I'm just too lazy. So I wanted to know how to go out and buy it from somebody who really knew what they were doing. So Richard brought this guy into the picture, and we'll be having him on the Sunday show. You can find the Sunday show the same way you found this one. Go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to radio. The Sunday show is called Blog Talk Radio. Richard and I co-host that show, and we're all the time grousing about you not having the rights and enough money and a good job, and we want the government to support who you are and what you need, but only to the extent where you can come in and begin to support yourself. So the idea that we use there is solutions and tools for self-responsibility. Just like we're looking at this one, I know people thought Gruber was a liar and a pompous donkey, but now we have proof. This is what Directions for Truth and Nano Voice can do for you. You know who's telling the lies, sort of, kind of, in your gut, but you don't have any substantiation. and that's what we bring you on the show, Direction for Truth. Thank you for being with us this week. I can't think of any ending announcements except the Sunday show. And to be sure to join us for January 10th, bring a friend, get in for free. There's a limited number of seats, so call in early or go to the site. And the button under the site is Bring a Friend. That's the project. So find somebody to come with you that we don't know. Find somebody who's excited about being self-responsible and helping you set up a bioacoustic center. And we'll see you on Sunday.
See you Sunday, everybody. Philip, have a safe drive. He's a listener. Have a safe drive. He's a truck driver commuting from, I don't know, to Calgary from Texas. I mean, something amazing. Anyway, yeah, that was very, you know, yeah. I love Nano Voice for this very purpose, that, you know, you can look at somebody's voice and kind of go, oh, huh, agenda, no agenda. All right, thanks, everybody. That was fun as always. More fun than Direction for Truth often is.
Steve says these women were dancing, and he's absolutely right. They were dancing around the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's hiding something. Okay. See you, everybody, on Sunday, and have a great week. Talk to you soon, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Richard.